Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 172 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel is back this weekend, ready to discuss and preview the Miami Grand Prix. Of course, if you missed out on last week's episode, where we didn't end up talking about Shanghai because it was boring, we would highly recommend going back and checking it out. But in true Knowing Wheel fashion, obviously we recorded the podcast, we uploaded the podcast, and then quite possibly the biggest news of the year broke. Maybe just behind Lewis Hamilton joining Ferrari, didn't it, Jamie?
Yes, yeah. And it's just classic, isn't it? You know, if you've been watching the show a while, you'll know that actually generally we record and then the news breaks and then the episode drops. Thankfully, that wasn't quite the same, but we still recorded, uploaded, and then 3 hours later, the news drops that Adrian Newey is off and he's leaving Red Bull. Well, he's announced his intention to leave Red Bull come the end of the year, which, yeah, has kind of taken the F1 world by storm in the last few days, really. And I think rightly so, to be honest. He is obviously probably the greatest engineer of all time. One of the greatest...
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
One of the greatest people in Formula One in terms of influence, like full stop, drivers, team principals included. You know, he's probably responsible for the most... like championships, I'd imagine, right up there anyway.
Yeah,
pretty big news that he is wanting to leave Red Bull, who he's been with since the end of 2005, which is obviously 20 years ago, 20 seasons. Crazy stuff. And the question that I'm guessing we're going to spend a bunch of time discussing, where's he going to go?
Or is he going to go anywhere? I mean, we've been able to luckily narrow it down to, I believe it was three teams? Or was it only ever two in the end?
I've had three in my head, but that might just be me.
Well, list off the three you've had in your head then.
So, obviously the big one is Ferrari.
Of course.
Because he's had his, on record, said that he regrets not working with Ferrari or Lewis Hamilton before. And obviously if he did it now, that's two birds and one stone.
Yep.
I think Aston Martin is probably the next best choice.
Aston Martin are the only team confirmed to have sent him an offer.
Because he's also in the same memoirs as announcing regrets not working with Hamilton and Ferrari, said that he regrets not working with Fernando Alonso. So that could be one. And then the Hail Mary, which is linked to the other bit of news which happened this week, is he could go to Audi, which I would absolutely love. For obvious reasons. So I don't think that one is very likely, because I think if he wants to stay in the UK, you know, if he doesn't want to stay in the UK, he would just go to Ferrari. But if he does want to stay in the UK, I think he'd probably gonna end up at Aston Martin. Yeah, we'll see. I think he's got a lot of options. Also, he could just retire, you know, go and live happily, not think about F1 ever again.
I mean, Adrian Newey is, it's not the main motivator, I'm sure, for someone in his capacity, but he is absolutely minted. So he would never have to worry about working another day in his life if he didn't want to. But he is absolutely someone that I think we'd all agree, I don't think he'd do as good a job in his role if he didn't love it. Mm. But obviously, yeah, you mentioned that Audi's kind of very, very left-wing, and I think that's kind of more of like a fairy tale kind of one of, you know, do Audi just pay him a ridiculous chunk of money to basically try and set them up and get, you know, kind of hit the ground running as a Formula One team. If I was to have to guess right this moment, if you put me on the spot about where I think he would go, my head is saying Aston Martin. My heart is absolutely saying Ferrari, though. It would be... But I can't help but feel like Adrian Newey would also be feeling the same way.
Yeah, and I guess it kind of comes down to, does a guy in his 60s with a family want to relocate to Maranello?
But why do you make it out like he has to relocate?
I guess he doesn't have to, but I think he probably would. Just because, like, obviously he's so involved in the design process, and I guess one of the biggest effects you can have on a team is by galvanizing the fellow team members there. Obviously they're all in Maranello, so yeah, he may just have a long commute and only go a couple of times a week or for little layovers here and there, but I think Adrian Newey knows what his intentions are. And I do think it would be really good for the sport if he does go to Aston Martin as well. As long as Lance Stroll doesn't end up with a terrible teammate and win the championship.
I don't even want it. It's like either Jacques Villeneuve or Damon Hill winning a world title. It would be like up there in terms of complete mediocre driver that winning a world championship. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, the fact that Jacques Villeneuve was the Villeneuve to win a championship and Gilles wasn't was a
disgusting.
Pretty
disgusting.
Outrageous. But yeah, I think it's a shame that Alonso is like, by the time Newey, the time frame, anyway, when engineers leave or move teams, they have to go on gardening leave for a period of time, so they can't just take over.
They don't have to. It's just obviously in their contracts. You'd be quite stupid if you had a good car not to put a gardening leave.
Yeah, so he does have one in the contract, by the sounds of it anyway. So that's a, like, and his contract is up until the end of 2025, is it? Or 20?
So his contract ends at the end of next year, and then he's got a 1 year gardening leave before he can even go anywhere else.
So he's got to negotiate quite hard with Christian Horner to try and leave early. And obviously, if it is the beginning of 2027, by the time he can start working for another team, Alonso will not benefit from Adrian Newey's work, which is a big shame if he does end up at Aston Martin. But whoever is the next driver, and alongside Lance Stroll, will have a great time, I'm sure.
Yuki Tsunoda. Love to see
it. Could be Tsunoda, yeah.
Obviously, you mentioned there about having to negotiate with Christian Horner. I only saw this confirmed on, I think, one source, so I'm not going to say, you know, it's a fact or anything like that. But the rumour on the street was that it was actually Adrian Newey's PA that Christian Horner had been inappropriate with.
Interesting. I mean, I don't want to comment on whether
we've really tried not to speculate on this too much, have we?
But my respect for Adrian Newey is very, very high, because it sounds like that was basically the catalyst for him leaving, is that he's not happy with how Red Bull and how Christian Horner have gone about the whole process. So he's clearly a man with values and credibility. And if it is his PA, which it may or may not be, then that kind of makes more sense, that like he would have a good relationship with whoever this person is who's been dismissed. So he's clearly a man of character and a man of value. So we love Adrian Newey, and I hope wherever he goes, he has a great time. And I'm sure he will. I'm sure the drivers driving his cars will as well.
I'm sure they will absolutely be loving that as well, if it happens. I mean, obviously Aston Martin, like we said, they have been the only team that have actually kind of, it's been put out there that they have sent him an offer. And of course, obviously, they are building a very, very exciting project at Silverstone. Of course, obviously, we kind of saw it absolutely explode last year, didn't it? With kind of interest and popularity and all this, that, and the other. And it has kind of fizzled a bit. Pretty much throughout, sort of from the summer break onwards last year, wasn't it? And then kind of, you know, it still had kind of those little flurries here and there. But we haven't quite seen the highs of last season, have we still? And of course, you know, there is all this speculation going on within the Aston Martin team. Lawrence Stroll obviously has been announced that he is looking to sell up to 25% of his stake in the Aston Martin Formula One team. This is kind of obviously where I'm trying to read it from, is if he felt that he had a good shot at getting Adrian Newey into that team, surely you would announce something like that once the news about Inui's joining you, because obviously the stock price will shoot through the roof.
Yeah, the stock price will go sky high as soon as they announce. I mean, whichever team ends up with Adrian Newey, their stocks will go up.
It depends if their stocks is traded, but yeah.
Yeah, true. But and if Lawrence Stroll is able to convince Newey to join, then, you know, he's going to be doing everything he can to keep Lance in that seat for as long as possible in terms of convincing the other stakeholders, because, you know, if you look at performance only, Lance Stroll is probably one of the most under pressure drivers, but because of the security of that seat, it's not really the case. Yeah,
I mean, we've ranted about this so many times, haven't we, in recent weeks, and I it gives me a migraine just thinking about it with Lance Stroll. But yeah, it's just frustrating, isn't it, in that regard. But yeah, I mean, Ferrari, though, we've got to talk about Ferrari, haven't we? Because surely, if there was an opportunity there, and let's just sit for 1 second and think, if that did happen, Lewis Hamilton Adrian Newey, Ferrari as a trio is... I mean, if this doesn't win world championships...
I mean, you're discrediting Charles Leclerc quite a lot, yeah?
But Charles Leclerc hasn't even been able to get the better of Carlos Sainz this year.
Well, Hamilton hasn't been able to get the better of George Russell this year, has he?
But George Russell's a future world champion, according to many. It's been an odd season so far, hasn't it?
It has been a very odd season. I do think Leclerc would be at least on par with Hamilton, to be honest.
I think on a Saturday, yes. On a Sunday, I'm not so convinced.
Well, I guess we'll find out next year, won't we? That's going to be exciting. I do think the way... I mean, actually, to be fair to you, I'm going to give you some credit here, because back at the beginning of 2023, when Fred Vasseur joined Ferrari from Sauber, or whatever they were known as then, you basically called back then that, you know, he's a bit of a negotiator, everyone kind of loves him, people would like to work for him. And you said, what if he's able to convince Hamilton? What if he's able to convince Newey to join Ferrari? You know, they're creating the new 2000s dynasty with Ross Brawn and all the rest of them. I can't remember. Who else was it?
Get the internationals. John Todd and Schumacher.
Yeah, and Michael Schumacher. So, Rory Burns, that was the one I was trying to think of. Yeah, it could. And to be fair, that was over a year ago. And look at us now. Still here, still waiting for Adrian Newey to join Ferrari. But, you know, you've got halfway there.
Still knowing wheel, clearly.
Could it happen?
Oh, I so want to believe.
What I would love to happen, just from a humour point of view, is you have Newey to Ferrari, you know, 2026 comes around. They've got an elite car, it's quality. Sadly for the sport, it means another period of domination, but at least the cars are red this time.
I don't think people will care anywhere near as much if that car is red.
And the upshot is that Charles Leclerc wins three titles in a row and Hamilton retires.
It could happen.
That would be so funny.
I'm not going to say it's impossible either. But...
No, it's not impossible at all, because Leclerc's a very, very good driver.
You break down the maths as well behind it. Of course, obviously, Ferrari's longest drought ever was from 79 to 2000. And there were quite a few missed opportunities in that 21-year spell. We're on year 17. By the end of next year, we're on year 18. We're getting pretty close to surely Ferrari. You know, there's only so many times they can get close.
Yeah.
You know, just the rules of mathematics makes the you law of averages. There's only so many times they can
and
get
close.
And
they have been incredibly close
it.
This time round, as in, you know, 08. Actually, 08 was their last constructors, wasn't it?
But constructors,
even so,
yeah.
Like, 2010 they were close, 2012... 2013, arguably, they were close until Pirelli made the tyres favour Red Bull. 2017-18, they were quite close. 2022, arguably, they should have been a bit closer. But
they should have been way closer.
Yeah. It's gonna come eventually. You know, Ferrari can't go forever without winning. But, and you say the same with McLaren, and they've not won a constructors in this millennium. So,
but McLaren is a very, very different team over those last 15. Like, you look, obviously, the fact they both last won a championship in 08. Ferrari and McLaren have gone very, very different routes since then. But I mean, for all we know, it could be 2026 is McLaren, for all we know. Obviously, I guess this is kind of the thing that's giving us hopium, isn't it, still? That hopefully, if we're still doing the podcast by then, maybe we can live up to some hype once more in that regard. But I mean, yeah, it's just, it is mad to think about, you know, the potential that is there. An interesting fact I learned as well today, Jamie. Did you know, ever since Michael Schumacher left Ferrari, including Michael Schumacher, every driver to then leave that team has never won another Formula One race?
That is a crazy stat. That is a really... Yeah, that's mad. So you're thinking, obviously, who? Schumacher, Raikkonen,
Schumacher,
Massa.
Obviously, Raikkonen went back again. Yeah, Massa, yeah. Alonso.
Alonso, Vettel.
Vettel?
Is that it? And then, yeah.
They don't shift drivers.
They don't change drivers that often, do they? Wow.
No.
Yeah.
I imagine the same. Obviously...
Can the same not be said of Mercedes?
But a lot less examples.
And they actually don't, you know, their drivers just retire. They keep them
They're the only driver that hasn't retired from Mercedes is Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah, he's not exactly going to win it at Sauber, is he? But,
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe when Audi comes in. But you won't be there by then. We hope.
Well, that does segue quite nicely, doesn't it, onto our second point. Because of course we speculated about it last week, and then it did just get confirmed pretty much a day later, wasn't it, that Hulk was going to be leaving Haas, and Hulk was then joining Stake, to the surprise of absolutely nobody. When we learned he was leaving Haas.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. I'm very excited. I do think 2025 is going to be a struggle because
absolutely,
I don't see much upward trajectory in that car at the moment. But to be fair, the actual car is not awful in the second tier of F1 at the minute.
Well, none of the cars in the second tier are awful.
No, but like I would say, it goes V-Carb, Haas, Sauber.
Well, we spoke
Williams,
about this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, I do think there's a decent. It's not like a cut off back marker. It's just the way that team functions is just dysfunctional. That's the problem.
They don't do pit stops. That's
they don't do pit stops, and they
race.
Don't do strategies, and they don't do reliability particularly well either. It's like there's so many problems in that team that aren't actually related to how fast the car is, but the car also isn't particularly fast. So hopefully, they can sort their act out when Hulk goes there. But I do think, you know, it's obviously a longer term move. I think it makes sense for all parties, really. Hulkenberg, you know, Haas is one of those, an independent team, which their aim is to exist and sell for a good price eventually. They're not here to win championships, you'd imagine. Obviously, they take one if it comes, but you don't see how that would be in their roadmap. Whereas Audi definitely are. They seem to be very serious about what they're doing. And yeah, he's a very, very safe pair of hands. I think the issue is with the current lineup, neither of them really stands out with Bottas and Joe. So it's hard to tell. As in, because Joe's obviously come into that team rookie, he's never had another teammate. You know, it might be that Joe's actually pretty decent and so is Bottas, but it might be that Bottas has lost it.
Don't go down this hypothetical.
Hey, I'm just saying, it could be that, but it could also be that Bottas isn't very good and neither is Joe.
Yeah, it could be that you, on the same wavelength, you could say their car's actually a championship winner, just because they're pretty poor.
I wouldn't go that far. But I mean, by getting someone like Hulkenberg in, you know that he's going to do the job in a good fashion. You know that he's a very safe pair of hands. He's not going to stuff it in the wall that often unless he's on for a podium. It's a good move because it means that whoever you stick next to him, you know you're going to have one car that's performing fairly near his limit and is going to be consistently bringing home whatever he can.
And I mean, what a comeback story as well. I mean, obviously, we I've given you my fair share of stick about Hulkenberg over the years, you know, because you obviously have so openly fanboyed over him. And of course, for a lot of those years, well, I was a Sergio Perez fan. So it kind of was obviously the fact, you know, they were the two kings of the midfield.
Hulk was always better, though.
No. But you do kind of think, don't you, how at the end of 2019, obviously he was dropped by Renault, obviously. Sorry, end of...
Yeah, it was end of 2019. Yeah, it was,
obviously. Obviously with Ocon coming in for 2020, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you just think, obviously at the end of that year, to be in that situation, to now knowing you're going to be racing for a factory German team, the first German team back on the grids, obviously with the exception of Mercedes. Obviously, Audi have obviously taken over the team that BMW once ran. You know, it's a pretty incredible comeback, isn't it?
Yeah, and to say he had 3 years out with a few substitute appearances in that. Yeah, I do think...
Madness.
People, like, teams obsessed for a period of time over getting their own rookies in at the expense of the good experience on the grid. So that's kind of what limited him in the first place. It is a problem, but it's... Yeah, like when you had... In 2020, you had like Latifi, Giovinazzi, arguably Ocon didn't do particularly well compared to what Hulk might have done. I'm not saying Ocon doesn't deserve to be on the grid, but teams were kind of obsessing over getting the fresh blood in, and Mick Schumacher, for instance. And then they kind of realised, oh wait, these drivers are crashing our car every week, especially Haas in 2021 with Mick and Mazepin.
I still always argue that Haas was not actually as slow as everyone thinks it was. I reckon that Haas genuinely was quicker than the Williams all year.
And you had the blind lead the blind. Yeah.
It pretty much, exactly. Like, you'd think back to the fact that Mick was a second a lap average roughly faster than Mazepin. K-Mag was like 7/10 on average faster than Mick.
And then Hulk was
average,
3/10 on
Magnussen. 3-4 tenths quicker than Magnussen. You think, how much quicker could that Haas have actually been? And imagine if Hulkenberg and Mazepin had been teammates.
Oh, and imagine if they could set it up right as well, because they're both rookies. It was such a clown move back then, but they needed the money. So, but yeah, thankfully, they've come around to their common sense, and good drivers are back. So there we go.
Exactly.
And yeah, it is a great comeback story, and he's obviously driven for Sauber before, back in 2013. He wasn't particularly happy in that. I mean, the first half of the year, the car was atrocious. Second half of the year, the car got good, but it was already checked out by then, because he got fooled into thinking it was going to be another 2012 where teams could get podiums, and then they couldn't. So that was a shame.
I'm desperately trying to shoehorn a segue in there, Jamie, because you have brought us perfectly onto our quiz of the day.
Okay.
So, of course, you know, I think it's also fair to say, isn't it? Even as a Hulk fan, you can admit this. One of the biggest reasons why they're picking him up, of course, is they understandably only want a German driver in that team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I will quite happily say as well, he is the best German driver in the world right now.
There you go. Get that clipped.
Get that clipped. There's not many to choose from, but we'll get it clipped. Obviously, when was the last time Sauber was owned by a German company, Jamie?
Well, BMW Sauber back in 2009.
Technically, BMW still owned the team for 2010.
Oh, yeah, did, didn't they? Yeah.
Due to the Concorde Agreement. But your quiz today is pretty simple. Okay. You have got a minute and a half to name me every Sauber driver to have scored at least one point since 2000. So from 2010
since when?
Onwards.
Oh, I should be able to do this.
Your time starts now.
Kobayashi, De La Rosa, Heidfeld.
You're going in a really odd order.
Sauber in 2011, Kobayashi and Heidfeld again. Perez, Sergio Perez. 2012 was Kobayashi, Perez. 2013 was Hulkenberg and Esteban Gutierrez. 2014 was Sutil and Gutierrez. 2015 was Ericsson Nasr. 2016 was Ericsson Nasr. 2017 was Wehrlein and Ericsson, but Ericsson didn't score. 2018 was Leclerc and Ericsson. 2019 was Raikkonen, Giovinazzi. 2020, same. 2021, same, plus Kubica, but he didn't score. 2022 was Joe and Bottas. And that's it.
Bang on, and for 40 seconds left on my clock, you've nailed that.
You've picked my specialist subject, to be fair. 2010's F1.
And you did also give me, well, I was going to give you a couple of bonus points if you got this next question right. Can you name me then the two drivers that never scored a point for Sauber since 2010? You mentioned one there.
Well, Kubica was one.
Yep.
Just ever or in a certain year?
In their entire time.
Who was the other one? Interesting. No. I was going to say De La Rosa, but I think he did in 2010, didn't he?
De La Rosa did in 2010?
And then he replaced Perez for a race in 2011, but didn't score. That's a hard question. Because Gutierrez did. Ericsson did. Nasr did. Giovinazzi did.
This is brilliant.
It is a replacement driver, isn't it? Is it one I mentioned? Surely not.
Yeah, you mentioned him. You mentioned every single driver they've had. Yeah, Sutil never scored a point.
I forgot about that.
He was actually decent
back then as well.
Because I was going to do this quiz all the way back to the start of Sauber, but I thought it was just too
many. I actually want to see how far I could get.
Well, do you want to just keep trying to name BMW?
Keep going back.
Well, Sauber's like, well, you can do that then if you want.
I'm doing it.
Impromptu quiz, apparently.
2009 was Heidfeld Kubica.
Yep.
That went back to 2006 when it started off as Heidfeld and
just before we
Villeneuve.
Continue, am I saying if you get an answer wrong, you're out?
I think I will very soon.
Oh, is that what we're saying? Is it?
Yes, go for it. Heidfeld, Villeneuve.
Okay, you're out.
Am I?
Yeah, you forgot Vettel in 2007, I'm afraid.
Oh, he did one race. That doesn't
he
count.
He still was there.
That's ridiculous. I was going all the way back to JJ Leto then for a second.
I bet you weren't. I'll give you a random year. 1997. Who were Sauber's drivers?
Sauber's drivers in 97. Frentzen?
Nope. Why are we doing this?
I have no... Fisichella? You drove for them once.
Nope.
I can't remember.
Fisichella never drove for them.
I swear he did.
I don't believe. No? Oh, no, he did. Sorry, 2004. Excuse me.
There you go.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Who drove in 97, just for completion's sake?
Johnny Herbert, Nicola Larini, Gianni Morbidelli, and Norberto Fontana.
I only know one of those, so there you go.
Yeah, you know Gianni Morbidelli.
Did Johnny Herbert not win a race that year? Or was that in the Stewart?
No, that was Stewart in 93, wasn't it? 93? You mean 99?
He won midway through Prost's last title. Right.
We have really gone down a rabbit hole there.
We have. Let's get back to it.
Let's focus back on what we need to be talking about. I mean, yeah, we've got another sprint weekend, don't we? Yay.
We do. And I want to test out if China was a flash in the pan. Because the consensus seems to be that China was quite good for a sprint event.
The sprint probably was more interesting.
That's what I mean. Yeah. The consensus on how the new format is quite positive right now. But I'm thinking back to when they changed it most recently for the beginning of last year. The consensus was also that it was quite positive after one time, and then after two or three times we were bored again. So we'll see.
But let's not forget this was massively skewed as well by the fact that because of the weather, yeah. Which
I don't think it's going to be raining in Miami.
Well, no, because apparently there's rumours that it could be absolute flooding in Miami. We might not get a race.
Well, that wouldn't be a massive shame.
Well, I'm still holding out for... Formula One is cursed when it tries to host a 24-race calendar. So
it's
still holding out for what is going to happen this year.
It's true. They bet they can race at Imola this year, I'm telling you that.
But let's hope so, for your sake.
Yeah, I mean, the weather in Miami looks pretty good, according to Google, anyway. So... yeah, it might be that all the sprint does is ruin the GP, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, we speak about this so much, don't we? But Miami, of course, it kind of the consensus is that it's on the chopping block. You know, because...
already. Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't... it hasn't delivered a good race yet.
I mean, and it's also, what's the point? What's the purpose of this race? You know... you keep tracks like Silverstone on the calendar because it's like, it's the first ever race in the Formula One. It's where all the British fans are, and F1 is kind of a British sport, really. You keep COTA on because you want a good racetrack in the US for the US fans. You keep Las Vegas on now because it's kind of like the quintessential American showpiece. So now what's the point of Miami? Because it kind of sits between them.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Miami just kind of sits between them both and does a bad job either way. Because yeah. I don't mind the idea, of course, because, yeah, the US is a massive market. And obviously, you can get a lot of people to those Grand Prix. And I don't mind the idea, of course, that they get a good... and, you know, I do genuinely like the circuit in the Americas as well. I think it is a decent track. And obviously, Vegas, yeah, it's a bit more of a crab shoot, but that's Las Vegas at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But Miami is just... I mean, there's no interest, you know, I don't think many people go, apart from the idea that it's just like a terrible version of Monaco.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a cheesy Monaco. Yeah. And does anyone want that? I don't really know.
Monaco,
but it has got a
contract.
Enough. It was given a 10-year contract when it signed up. So we've got it until 2031.
Or do we, though? Will we?
Well,
will we?
You know.
If we've still got Miami on the calendar in 2031, I will eat a shoe.
Okay, well, we're clipping that up as well.
Do you know what worries me, Jamie? I like that.
What?
Is that 2031 is as far away now as we are from when we first started speaking. In fact, it's closer.
It's much closer.
Not much closer.
We started speaking in 2016.
Yeah.
In fact, the second ever day I spoke to you was when Hamilton's engine blew up in Malaysia. I remember that.
Oh.
Man, what a day.
Madness.
What a day.
Madness. I mean, we can't really preview too much heading into Miami, though, can we? Because, of course, we haven't really... I mean, there's... yeah. I'm trying to think of where is a good comparison to Miami on the calendar.
You got a lot of high speed and then a lot of very low speed and not a lot in between.
Barcelona?
No, because all of them are medium speed corners now, aren't they, really?
Yeah, I forget, obviously, the final chicane's changed.
I would say, to be honest, like Vegas, to be honest. Like,
no, Vegas is just... I mean, Miami is nowhere near a straight line dominated as Vegas is.
But it is a massive straight, back straight there. Haas were quite good here last year. Kevin Magnussen qualified fourth. Gasly qualified fifth, I think.
He's not racing at Haas.
He's not racing at Haas, but, you know, just shout out to Gasly. This is the race that broke Sergio Perez last year.
It was, yeah.
He's not really been the same since, but yeah, we'll see.
Obviously, Magnussen scored points in Miami last year. Hülkenberg, he did. Sorry, he only scored points in one Grand Prix last year.
And a sprint. Yes.
That's disgusting. He still outscored K-Mag.
He still outscored Magnussen by double.
It's quite funny. Shocking. But yeah, Haas, I mean, say Jamie just sent me a graphic beforehand that was quite confusingly laid out by Formula One. Haas have scored as many Grand Prix this year as they did last year combined, which is quite an impressive feat.
Do we just do
our predictions then, Jamie? I guess we should, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we can lock it in.
What are the scores on the doors?
The scores. I actually got a bit of a lead after China, didn't I? So
you did do well.
I'm on 26, and you are on 17.
Oh,
how many Grand Prix is that?
Five races, so there's
actually been 42 points available, and I've got 26. That's actually pretty good. I'm happy with
Don't
that.
Don't try to claim that's good, because how many of those points is Max Verstappen taking the win? How many of those
Probably
available
most
points
of them.
Is that? Yeah, it's
Probably
like
most
18
of
those points.
But then you've only got
Max
17.
Verstappen domination. Yeah, because I try to make it interesting.
What does that say about you?
In a world where Max Verstappen doesn't win everything all the time, and go, yes, boys, simply lovely. I don't know
a
good Max Verstappen impressive. Yeah. Sprint win, Max. Qualifying, Max. Race, Max.
That's plus six.
Sergio Perez P2. And let's say, let's be really boring. We're going to say Carlos Sainz P3.
You are boring. You are boring ass. Do you not remember that Lando Norris got the most recent sprint pole?
Yeah. It was a week ago.
Yeah. I'm going to say.
There's no points for sprint pole.
I'm going to say Max Verstappen sprint pole.
Oh, actually, here we go.
There's no points for that. I just feel like someone's going to crash into Max at turn one in the sprint.
Why?
I don't know.
When was the last time, apart from George Russell last year, when was the last time Max was having crashed out of a Grand Prix?
Yeah, it was. Well, he had a hole ripped in his side in Baku and still got a podium. The GOAT.
Yeah.
So I will go.
It must have been Hungary 2021.
Italy.
Italy. Well, you say Max took out Lewis, but yeah.
I will go Sergio Perez to win a sprint, just to be different.
Oh, dearie me.
I will go Max Verstappen pole, Max Verstappen win. Charles Leclerc, P2. And Lando Norris, P3. We're going very
different. What happens
to
Sergio? He wins the sprint and does...
He has a good sprint quali and then just qualifies in Q2 in the real quali.
Fair enough. He's going to do the Lance Stroll, is he?
Yeah. So he's going to, sprint pole, sprint win. No, he's not going to get sprint pole. Something's going to happen to Max.
Jamie 183. Of course, because this is Knowing Wheel, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, we seem to find that obviously normally when we do these, then something will get announced between now and obviously when the show goes out. I just want to cover our backs this week. What are your thoughts on the Ferrari Miami livery? I quite like it, to be fair. I like the
blue
they've done on it.
It's very blue, isn't it? They really didn't hold anything back. We obviously haven't seen it yet, but I have high hopes. If they make it red with a blue stripe, I might not appear on a show next week.
Why?
Just because it'd be boring. They better go fully for it. And
fair enough. Yeah. I hope they do, to be fair. I really do hope they go all out. Well, no, I mean, I'm happy that they've gone all out blue. I'm sad that they didn't go all out blue.
I'm sorry that happened. Or happy for you.
Exactly. And McLaren are meant to be bringing a new upgrade to the car, but they've got no idea whether it's going to make the car quicker or not, which in my mind defeats the point of an upgrade.
Well, it's just a change then, really, isn't it? But
it's
an alteration. That's why Lando Norris McLaren is going to get a third grade.
Oh, you see, he broke his nose or something this week.
Yeah, he was wrapped in bandages, wasn't he? I thought it was it was a joke, like a dress-up thing, but maybe it was real.
No, you could say cut his... I originally, when I saw it, thought, maybe someone's lamped him, but apparently not.
There we go. Anything else to add?
I don't believe so. I think we've done pretty well today, and we've kept it under 40 minutes. Oh, quick housekeeping. For those of you that are on YouTube, I mean I, because I do everything on the back end for the show. Jamie just shows up and talks about it. We've now got the podcast uploading officially on YouTube. So if obviously you're out and about but you want to listen via YouTube, you can now do so from like 2 weeks ago onwards. But they're going to be left unlisted. Otherwise, every week you get the podcast on your sub feed twice. So what I'm going to try and do, if I'm clever, is just start leaving a link down in the description below. I probably should mention this at the start of the show. but yeah, so I'm going to try and start leaving a link to the playlist down in the description below. So, of course, you can just listen to it on the audio version. Or, of course, follow us on Spotify. It'd be greatly appreciated. I'm hoping... Actually, I better just double check. We've still got our 5-star review, but I feel like
we actually have a lot of reviews. I saw that recently.
We have
4.9 with 103 reviews.
We'll take that. We'll take that.
We'll boost us back to 5. If you haven't reviewed us yet, go do it.
That's physically impossible, Jamie, but okay.
You could get 4.96 on average, and it round up. There you go.
Is that how it works? Is it on Spotify?
Surely that's... I don't have a clue, but that would make sense.
I wouldn't have thought so, but it would be cool. It would be cool. But yeah, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. We've had another good rambly episode today. We probably should do like a second podcast a week where we just ramble about random stuff.
Start talking about the early 2000s
The 1990s,
again.
Yeah, exactly. I still absolutely say, down the line, we need to do old race watch-alongs and that kind of thing and talk through about old races. That'd be so much fun. But yeah, we'll be back next week. It's going to be a later episode next week, I believe, isn't it, Jamie? Because you're away?
I'm at a wedding this time next
you're
week.
You're at a wedding?
On Monday, yes.
A Monday? Oh, it's bank holiday,
it's
isn't
bank holiday.
It?
So we'll already record on the Tuesday.
I think we've already
evening.
Got it on our calendar for a Tuesday, yes. So that's
so it might
be
a Wednesday upload.
Wonderful. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you drop us a follow, drop us a sub, all that good stuff. We've overtaken Jamie, which is good. and yeah, we'll be back next week then, ready to potentially review the Miami Grand Prix. It depends how boring it is.
Got our hopes high.
Exactly.